Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the Sunday Show on Here Blog Talk Radio. Today it is Wayne and myself. Our good pal Jack Jodell is still recovering from a really bad case of it. He's going through exactly what I did. At least he didn't get sent over to the horse pistol. I'm really, really wishing Jack a speedy recovery. We miss him very much, but he'll be here. Tonight is the Boomer at 9 p.m. Eastern time. I guess it's 8 p.m. your time. The whole damn world is going to be watching this.
Oh, yeah.
Call. I mean, I had a friend in Australia on Facebook who messaged me and said, hey, is there any way that you can, like, live with your iPhone live tweet or live feed on Facebook this thing for me? And I'm like, you know, I'm sorry, that because a lot of people will only see the rerun in parts of the world. And it's just, you know, and especially Western Europe, they're all tuned in, man, with satellite dishes and all through the country. I've been seeing those little comments. You meet me at the George Pilgrim, you know, it's like, whoa. But it's definitely going to be very telling this evening. I think about Trump. Whether or not he can salvage anything, of course, he isn't going to quit. They'll have to, you know, fire his ass. But
Well, Gwen, I saw something on Facebook said, you know, look, I don't want Trump to quit, right? I want him to keep on with all this nihilistic rhetoric that he's been doing.
Yeah.
He says, and then it went into subtext. He says, hey, Republicans, how does it feel now to be forced to carry something to term?
You know, I just heard Chuck Todd give time to that Palladino thing in upstate New York. Now, I mean to tell you, nobody is coming on air for Trump. And when you got to get down to Palladino, and it is absolute bullshit. It's just ridiculous. Go ahead.
They are scurrying like the cockroaches when someone turned on the kitchen light on right now.
Well,
they are all hiding, trying to get away as quick as they can.
Well, that's kind of ugly, but kind of true, isn't it?
Look. They made this bed. You know, I keep wanting to rehash this and keep bringing it up. But, you know, when I told Jack Kemp in 2005, you are messing with powers you don't understand.
Well,
you are messing with the most extreme aspects. They aren't going to keep kowtowing to you. They're going to take over.
Well, they really have. And now that faction, the stronger parts of that faction out in Utah are the ones who are coming out and say, hey, doesn't anybody have any integrity here? I mean, it was pleasing to see that John Cain stepped up and said, that's it. He's going to write in Mike Pence's name. And you know, the thing is that either way here, the thing that bothers me is that so many people are still supporting him, A, and B, that they think Mike Pence can step in and say, oh, it's okay, we're all good Republicans, and you can elect this guy president and not Hillary Clinton. Well, to that, I have something to say.
All right.
And I hope you'll bear with me here because.
Always, Gwen, go ahead.
What they have done is they have allowed a man to take over their party from their base, the base they cultivated by all that they have done. This is the kind of man who has taken the Republican place in presidential election. He's a man who's mocked another man with disabilities who was a reporter. He attacked the parents of a fallen American Muslim hero that served this country, belittled POWs.
Totally shameful.
Belittled POWs and the war record of Senator John McCain. And not so long ago, he inconsiderately referred to men in combat who suffer from PTSD as weaker than those who don't step up and say they have. He lied
right.
about how much money he's raised for veterans. He called a former Miss Universe disgusting and fat, telling his Twitter followers to find her on a non-existent sex tape. He accused an American-born federal judge of being unfit to do his job because of his Mexican heritage, because he's afraid he's going to get found guilty of the fraud he's committed in bilking people out of money for a fraudulent university.
He's guilty. Bottom line, he's guilty.
Likely avoided paying taxes for nearly two decades. I'd be freaking surprised if the man has paid taxes ever insurmountable
yeah.
of what he has ever owed. He's called most Mexican immigrants rapists and criminals, even though that's not even remotely factual. They've helped build
no.
this country. He lied about
exactly.
seeing thousands and thousands of Muslims celebrating
yeah.
in New Jersey on 9/11. He lied about getting, well, even the dogs don't like him. He lied
that's
about
right.
giving a letter.
Good doggy.
Getting a letter from the NFL complaining about the debate schedule, tried to exploit the death of an African-American woman in Chicago to say that that's why black voters will support him. He found the bright side to tragedies because his poll numbers tended to go up, because he actually took credit for projecting that Orlando and California and the mall shooting were all something, you know, these were terrorist threats, he said,
right.
to happen. he settled with the Department of Justice after his company was found guilty of racially discriminating against minorities, most specifically African American or black minorities, not once, but twice. He's cheated on. We could figure at least two of his wives.
Pretty sure all three.
He was just divorced on video, admitting that he not only tried to cheat on his current wife, but he attempted to do so with a married woman. That's that tape that's playing right now.
Right.
Had his first wife publicly say that he did nothing when it came to raising their children until they were old enough to talk business, I mean to tell you. He tweeted that women should have expected to be sexually assaulted when they mixed males with females together in the military. He said he wants to target the families of terrorists. He stated that he wants to put a ban on an entire religion, and he wants a qualifier test taken of everybody entering this country for citizenship, asylum, or even a visa to work based on their religious preference.
Right.
Praised a Russian despot and dictator who obviously hates the U.S. and Americans and is doing his best right now through hacking with his intelligence unit to throw a monkey wrench into this election. He encouraged the Russian government to commit espionage on Americans. He insinuated that another Republican's wife was ugly, and he implicated that other Republican's father in the assassination of JFK. He sought out the help of former Fox News CEO Roger Ailes after he was fired following multiple allegations that he had sexually harassed women for years. He made Breitbart Steve Bannon one of his top campaign people, inviting white supremacy to sit next to him at the table. Had a
that
former
was just
campaign
disgusting.
Manager abruptly resign after a report came out linking him to pro-Russian groups that were directly trying to undermine U.S. policy in Eastern Europe. But listen, I think he's too effing dumb, Wayne, to really be working for the Russians. He's just this stupid.
Putin is making him his bitch, his prison bitch, his bunk.
Yeah, he called Carly Fiorina ugly on the debate stage.
Yes.
He has said that climate change was a hoax created by the Chinese, and then he denied saying it.
Because he has such a brilliant science degree, okay.
The son of a bitch was a leading conspiracy theorist. I mean, he's the one who brought the racist-driven birther conspiracies against President Obama. He dismissed nearly 8 years of accusing our president of not being an American with a less than 30-second statement where he didn't apologize for any of it. He blamed it on Hillary Clinton, and he blamed it for his racism. He retweeted African-American propaganda created by a white supremacy group. He played dumb about knowing who former Grand Wizard of the KKK David Duke was. He skipped a presidential debate because he was scared of the moderator. Has on several occasions... Wow. Boy, the dog's... I'm so sorry.
You're right, Glenn. This list is really soft back to think about. Just keeps going on and on and on. I'm sure you're not done yet.
No. He retweeted. Oh, I'm sorry. He has on several occasions suggested he finds his daughter attractive, but not in a way that a father would say something like that. I mean, it's not the way you call your children.
No. When he was on Howard Stern's show, Howard says, "Hey, can I call your daughter, like a nice piece of ass?" "Oh yeah, sure, go ahead."
Yeah.
Anybody that either one of my two daughters would be trying to find his teeth on the ground.
Yeah, and he called a husband doing things like changing diapers and helping with the children a man trying to be a wife. Said that he wants more countries to have nuclear weapons. Let's not forget how he said women should be punished for abortions. He said he can't release his tax returns because they're being audited, even though the IRS said that's a lie.
That's pure bullshit, right?
He feels he has the right to sexually assault women. He does. Now, here's the thing. This guy doesn't believe that the rules or the laws apply to him. He seems to have no concern about the consequences of his actions. He's impulsive. He shows frequent signs of being reckless. He's unpredictable. He lacks moral compass. He's a narcissist. He's proven that he's hot-tempered. A tweet sets him off. And he is a loose cannon. He lacks empathy. And sympathy for that is another commercial brought to you by our friends at Purina.
That's right.
That was an important one. The guy lacks empathy or sympathy for others. I don't know how many times I've heard President Obama talk about our need to be empathetic and sympathetic.
Are true Christian values.
Yes. He never apologizes. He often invents outrageous lies about his successes or experiences. And he seems to believe that what he says is the truth, even if it isn't. Now, that is a textbook description of a sociopath. Now, I've never used my degree in psychology formally. But it is. That's the truth, and there's a little expertise to say it is. I got this wonderful information from the Forward Progressives, and I want to thank them for that listing.
Very good.
I don't want to take credit for the whole compilation. I'd like to say something else, too. By all means. About WikiLeaks and Julian Assange. Here we thought we had this great outlet for getting information, you know, that needed to come out, like the information that Glenn Greenwald and Edward Snowden put out to the country, and it was needed.
Right.
My Uncle Frank was one of the people who drafted the Whistleblower Act, and he was a Republican. And I think Edward Snowden is a hero, an American hero, and I'm hopeful that he'll find his way home. But WikiLeaks has proven to me, at least, and I take this very personally, the son of a bitch dumped a bunch of Russian emails out, and he outed gay men and women,
yes,
but mostly gay men in Saudi Arabia and other Middle Eastern countries where it's a death penalty. It's a death penalty for them. Without any care to what he was doing, no due diligence, no vetting on that.
My question is, for what purpose? I mean, what was he going to gain by outing gay men in Saudi Arabia?
It was part of a WikiLeaks dump. That's what they do. They dump. They don't vet. Dump. And he's just done it again with a particular, because he has a grudge. He's just dumped another bunch of Russian intelligence that has got all these Clinton emails and Podesta emails and such on the campaign. This is a maneuver by Putin to throw monkey wrenches into our election process. And
exactly.
I would say, Putin
is scared shitless of Hillary Clinton. He knows he can't maneuver her and get what he needs, because she will come out and bitch like
him. He sees an opening. He sees a way to get his toe in the door if we got an idiot, a buffoon like Trump. But here's the other thing about WikiLeaks. After the commander-in-chief, town debate there, Alex Jones floated a conspiracy that Hillary Clinton was wearing an earpiece during it, which she was
That was
by photography, but Julian Assange took a old tweet of his own, of a Huma Amadeen tweet that was sent, or text that was sent to Hillary Clinton for an actual speech she was going to be giving at the UN. He used it to support the conspiracy of Alex Jones. I don't have any respect for WikiLeaks or Julian Assange, and I think that the Ecuadorian embassy is probably getting pretty sick of the crap they're having to take because of him being there. And I have absolutely no respect for that. The other thing I wanted to say here was that today online I found a piece that I posted. I think you were one of the people that liked it, because I was going to actually sit here and mention a few of the things that Clinton has done. But if people don't know, they don't want to know at this point. And
True. But go ahead. Please read it.
That's okay, too. But
we have listeners other than in this country, too, so please read it.
I don't know who the author is. One of my Facebook friends reposted it from Instagram, but it's a quote, and it says, "I'm officially done with the 'she's so flawed, but she's the lesser of two evils' rhetoric." Because, you know, I'm flawed, and you're flawed, and Bernie Sanders is flawed, and Barack Obama is flawed, and even Michelle Obama is flawed. But the difference between all of them and me, and probably you, is that they have all given their flawed lives to public service. And now they're all working together in their inevitably flawed ways to save all of us and the whole world from a sociopathic narcissist. And every day, Hillary puts a hopefully unflawed, bulletproof vest on her flawed and aging and sometimes unsmiling self and stands up in front of people who have been incited by her opponent to shoot her. And she's calm and rational and intelligent and sometimes flawed. And she says things about how to make a positive difference. In my book, that makes her a fucking rock star.
Damn right.
Of another flawed, resilient rock star, there is a crack in everything. And that's where the light gets in. And I thought that was just absolutely, absolutely a wonderful piece to put up, especially today when you consider that Mrs. Clinton will be walking on the stage. Gosh knows I don't agree with every policy she's got going. I pray that she stands by TPP putting it down. And I have to say that I dearly wish we might implement some of the ideas that Jill Stein has about how to run the country. More, pardon me, more environmentally healthy and peacefully. But the global chessboard, it just doesn't support a reality of those propositions with any of our responsibilities to our alliances, to the safety of the country and the economy that keeps this country going. It has to be gradually eased in or gradually done, pardon me, or I should have got a glass of water, you know, but
I got something here in front of me, so yeah.
But what surprises me is that there's a lack of initiative on this candidate's part to begin working for the generations of the future by entering a political system and working towards changing it, like all the people she's railing against have. I mean, Clinton, the Obamas, the Bidens. I mean, you know, Joe Biden was a bag man for the corporations in Delaware. We know that.
Right.
And he really was. He also was behind trying to keep the Senate confirmations going when Anita Hill came up before him. I don't remember that. I've also seen him evolve into having the power and the ability to be the man he is at this moment. Now, you could say, well, what makes you think Trump isn't? Well, because he hasn't demonstrated one bit of it where Joe Biden has. He's demonstrated that he's capable of better things, better stuff. And so because I have friends who are in the Green Party and two that I know who actually went out and ran for office and got elected, and they do a damn good job, and they're Green Party. But Green Party nationally is like a Chinese fire drill. And three times now, every 4 years, Jill Stein comes out and she has some really good ideas, and yet no implementation, no experience in politics, especially the politics on the global scale and the national scale. And she seems very unwilling to enter into the system to change it from within, which is what American democracy is supposed to be, you know, based on. Of course, the whole system's rigged. And yet she keeps running. I mean, why not just, you know, blow the thing up? I just don't get some people. And she could run for Congress. She could win. You know, she could go to to work, she could get the experience. She could get her toe in the door. She could get her
right.
stuff, but then she'd be compromising her values. I don't buy that. I really don't buy that.
Well, and which kind of leads then to, you have to question, is there a factor of someone's own hubris coming into play here?
Yeah. Well,
you know, start.
And I got to say, I know I have my own because I basically want to achieve a lot of things that a lot of green people do. A lot of people who are so upset about how our police are dealing with their own epidemic of insanity and then,
right.
then supporting those first responders, police, fire, EMT, all of them, who do such a fabulous job every day of their lives. I mean, it's a quandary. And the only people I hear speaking about coming together and doing good work have been always Democrats, liberal
yeah.
Democrats,
yeah.
progressive Democrats.
Progressive.
And now the progressive Democrats, because of Bernie Sanders, and he knows this very well,
right.
have a core that are behind him already in office. And they
right.
are shifting Hillary to the left, and they're going to keep her there. That's the big job. And Hillary knows it. And she's saying, come on. You think she doesn't
yeah.
want to be, you know, the perfect one? You think she doesn't want to, do you think she'd rather have, you know, every, you know, stop the fracking and the gas and everything now?
Yeah.
You think she
right.
really wants do it if she couldn't, but she knows
right.
what it would cost and what the payday would be and what would happen to world alliances and what it could cause or trigger. It could
right.
do a lot. And it would definitely damage the economy. That there's no question there. Look what the Republicans did with real estate. Jesus Christ.
Oh yeah. Yeah, like I said, that cost me well over, let's see, I probably lost $200,000 in my farm here back in Maryland. I had several, like $100,000 in savings that basically I ate up because all the job crash, there was no employment at all.
Yeah.
So that little trick of Bush and Cheney and removing the last bastions of any kind of banking restrictions
well, that
cost
was...
me probably about $300,000.
Wow. Well,
yeah, that's a true number.
I had just launched a new little cottage business and was doing really well. And all my little stores, not all of them, but the greater, 70% of my stores, I watched close in 08 through 08 into 09. But I will say this. Today, last year I did more business than I have since then.
Well, good for you.
The growth of commerce and trade has been happening. People are
mm-hmm.
better. When Obama was elected, we were paying $3.49. That's another. I bet and there's our pet shop commercial. Everybody should buy.
There we go. That's right. Get. Now, adopt a humane society dog. They will love you.
Yeah, it's true. All of these guys that are giving us
uh-huh.
this song come from a rescue nearby.
Right.
So everybody should be reminded to rescue a pet.
Right.
Always rescue a pet.
Yeah.
And if you're very rich and you have nothing, no one to leave your money to, don't
yeah.
give it to the televangelist. Give it to the rescue
no.
operation
oh, yeah.
closest to you because
right.
our pets are our family too. And
yep.
And I didn't mention Wayne Gary Johnson because I figured you probably could do a really good job of talking about what a goddamn fool he is. So
well, number one, you know, every question that he's been asked that was outside of any kind of our national boundaries. what is your feelings of Aleppo? He thought it was an acronym meaning something else. No, it's the city where all the devastation is going on in Syria, where it's basically a human genocide because they happen to be in the crosshairs of superpowers, those that want to stay in control, those who want to throw those in control out. It's just a human tragedy. He had no clue. It's one of the biggest stories in our current events, international conversations, and he has no clue.
You know, I got to tell you, I really respect the political opinions of a lot of people I'm not agreeing with right now at the moment about this presidential campaign. But I respect their opinions, and I read what they have to say, especially all my friends that are old sponsors. And
right.
I don't really grok a lot of it, but some of it is very to the point. And it reminds me, you know, you're supporting somebody that I worked under one of Clinton's initiatives in the 90s. I do know who she is. I got to tell you, I mean, the woman is, she's good people. She's not bad people. And she's proven that with her record. And I just, it's some people are so willing to go all the way to the dark, but I can't be blameful of it either. I mean, look at what we're surrounded with, you know?
Yeah, no, I understand.
There's a lot that's wrong, like you stated
earlier, no candidate is going to be all things to all people.
No.
I want to see who is knowing what they're talking about, who is willing to listen and work with others, those who are really well-knowledged in all current event topics that's going to be a major consideration and needing some true decision-making process, critical thinking processes. And I only see one candidate of those that we've spoken about today, and that's Ms. Hillary Clinton.
I agree with you. The Republicans, on the other hand, are the real story here, because who knows what's going to happen to them. Unfortunately, I think that they're probably going to have a lot of disarray, and well, if it isn't one thing, it's another. It's a lot of noise in the background on this one. I really wish that somebody, you know, we get somebody who would like call in and say, well, wait a minute, you know, and would bring up the bullet points that are positive about the Green Party, which there are several, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I could support, because number one, the environmental aspect, as you know, I really wasn't interested in getting into politics until there was a local wood treatment plant that was dumping their arsenic, the salt treating of the wood, which is, it's arsenic, CCA, chromated, I can't think of the last name, arsenic, and then also the creosote, which is really just full of pentachlorophenol. That's the real dangerous stuff. That's that tarry smell type treated wood.
Yeah.
And, you know, the guy was dumping it out in a water aquifer, his waste. He had a big spill. He just dumped it in a ditch. He was burying drums of stuff because he had been closed up in Baltimore for doing the same thing. In other words, he was making his profit margin by not properly addressing the toxic waste byproducts of his manufacturing processes. And he had a habit of this. Anyway, long story short was, I found out what he did. My daughter's uncle on my ex-wife's side was right across from this guy's place. My daughter was spending time with her cousins there and stuff, and I didn't want her drinking the water there and keep constantly being exposed to these harsh, basically death-causing chemicals. There was a guy, it was a school teacher and his wife. They had three miscarriages because they didn't know what was going on across the street from them. They had a little small farm. And because of just the chemicals in the air of this CCA and the creosote treatment, caused her three miscarriages. And they were blaming themselves. They were going through turmoil and stuff until they found out what the real cause was. And it got basically, long story short, was Maryland Department of the Environment, oh, we don't see anything wrong here. Our local planning and zoning and those had an inspector to inspect what was going on these industrial complexes, which were outside. They're out in the middle of the country, right? They don't go into an industrial park or anything like that. They hide behind trees and stuff like this where they do all this. And then once the land is polluted, then they just move out, go bankrupt, leaving the local banks holding the bill because they were the ones that loaned the money for the business to go in there. And if you default on that loan, guess who owns the polluted property? Not the man that polluted it, but the bank that loaned the money because they have to repossess it. That went to the Supreme Court, by the way, in one of these cases here that I was fighting against.
Wow.
So when you get back to, long story short, when you get back to the Green Party and their aspects of the environmental standards and responsibility and answerability, I am very much in favor of that.
Yes, well, they are quite right when they call it a crisis. And
yes.
Ms. Clinton has called it a crisis. I did find the Atlantic Monthly article, and I think it behooves the show to put out what they did. You know, they made their first advocation for a presidential candidate in 1857,
right.
And
right.
Through 1860 for Abraham Lincoln, because
right.
On behalf of the magazine, I'm reading in quotes here, it is in a moral aversion to slavery,
right.
As a great wrong that is the chief strength of the Republican, where the Republican Party lies, which at that day it did. And
right.
They said that Abraham Lincoln had enough experience in public affairs to make him a statesman and not enough to make him a politician, and that was all right by them.
Yeah, that's right.
And then in 1964, Edward Weeks wrote for the magazine, citing Lowell's words about the argument of the election of Lyndon Baines Johnson.
Right.
He said that he admired the president for the continuity with which he has maintained our foreign policy, a policy which has become a worldwide responsibility at the time of the Marshall Plan, which, you know, the Marshall Plan, people are not too educated.
Right.
But they did, you know, it was Goldwater, for crying out loud. I mean, his proposal to let field comrades have their choice of the smaller nuclear weapons would rupture a fundamental belief that existed from Abraham Lincoln to today, the belief that in times of crisis and the civilian authority must have control over the military, for crying out loud. I mean,
absolutely.
You know, And there's been the Governor George Wallace, the Ku Klux Klan, the John Birchers,
yep.
All mixed into that. But today, they find themselves in a similar position that they found themselves in 1964. And what they say is that they are impressed by many of the qualities of the Democratic Party's nominee for president, even as we are exasperated by others. But we are mainly concerned with the Republican Party's nominee, Donald J. Trump, who might be the most ostentatiously unqualified major party candidate in the 227-year history of the American presidency.
I agree. Well stated.
And they said that their concerns compelled them to endorse Hillary Clinton because she's more than earned through her service to the country as First Lady, as Senator from New York, and as Secretary of State, the right to be taken seriously as a White House contender. She has flaws, some legitimately troubling, some exaggerated by her opponents, but she is among the most prepared candidates to ever seek the presidency. And we're confident she understands the role of the United States in the world. We have no doubt that she will apply herself assiduously to the problems confronting this country, and she has demonstrated an aptitude for analysis and hard work. And Donald Trump, on the other hand, has no record of public service nor qualifications for public office. His effect is that of an infomercial huckster. He traffics in conspiracy theories and racist invective. He is appallingly sexist. He is erratic, secretive, and xenophobic. He expresses admiration for the authoritarian rulers and evinces authoritarian tendencies himself. He is easily goaded, a poor quality for someone seeking control of America's nuclear arsenal. He is an enemy.
Right.
He is an enemy of fact-based discourse. He is ignorant of and indifferent to the Constitution, and he appears not to read. So,
we're just going on and on, aren't we?
They are really appalled.
Yes.
They are really, really appalled. And they ended up saying that, you know, if Mrs. Clinton was facing Mitt Romney or John McCain or George W. Bush or any other leading candidates Trump vanquished in the Republican primaries, they would not have contemplated making this endorsement. They believe in American democracy, in which individuals from various parties of different ideological stripes can advance their ideas and compete for the affection of the voters. And here's the kicker. But Trump is not a man of ideas. He is a demagogue, a xenophobe, a sexist, a know-nothing, and a liar. He is spectacularly unfit for office, and voters, the statesmen and thinkers of the ballot box, should act in defense of American democracy and elect his opponent.
Yep. Very well stated. So the Columbus Dispatch, right here in the heart, the capital of Ohio, has been a very, very, well, like I said, 4 years ago when I first came out here to start working as consulting engineer, they were saying that Mitt Romney was going to be the second term of President Obama. And I'm thinking, I'm not seeing this, because the signs in the yard, those who chose to put a political sign on their property or in their yard all had Obama. There was a lot of Mitt Romney songs and Republican songs, but they were there in the public strip between a sidewalk and a road. And like I said, and of course, when the actual election, of course, they were saying, oh, Mitt Romney's got Ohio. Well, when the election actually came in by 8 o'clock, the election was over. And, you know, the president, of course, had won his second term. Cincinnati Inquirer, again, a conservative newspaper, hasn't backed a Democrat or a progressive type of person for hundreds of years, or 100 plus years. Again, has come out and said, we are supporting Hillary Clinton because it's important. This other man, her candidate, the Republican candidate, is a damn nut job, is basically what they're saying. Papers in Arizona.
Not one newspaper has actually endorsed Donald Trump. Not one. Nowhere.
I was going to say, I know that there's hundreds that are endorsing Hillary Clinton. I can't name one. There may be one out there, but I cannot name one that it says Trump is our man. Maybe there might be somebody in Kansas, you know, because that state is being just totally destroyed by conservative Republicans economically. There might be someone out there, but other than that, there's not one that I can put a name to. So.
Jeez. There is a lot of discussion going around that our social media is being tinkered with. I think that's something that we should know, it's something that we should at least be aware of, that there is the allegation. I mean, people post things that are political, that are being taken off or taken down. I've posted things, especially 5 years ago, I was posting things that were very much like what people say, you know, they're having taken off now against TPP or something. And I never experienced that, but I don't dismiss that other people have been saying so. I see one that's gone up here recently, and a friend who has reposted what a friend had put about, signing a bill, signing a what do you call, senior moment against the TPP, signing a declaration against it. And I think those are very important, and I think it's valuable to understand that yes, Facebook could very well be screwing around with our posts and manipulating things. I mean, the Republicans and the right-wingers got upset because they were getting dissed off of Facebook, and it turned out to be true, and so that's been cut out, as you would say. But in the same vein, I would bring it back to all of these email dumps that are coming out of Russian intelligence that so many people are thinking, well, absolutely, this is the truth. These are real. You know,
no,
they're brave. Let them be vetted. And then, of course, there's the ultimate rebuke, which is, well, if you give it to the system to be vetted, how can you be sure there? Which is a valid rebuke. Why would the State Department say, hey, wait a minute, these times are not measuring up to these, you know, passages of email banter, which are not even in the same vernacular as the man who addresses many, or whatever it is. And even today I heard an MSNBC host just arbitrarily give credence to Russian intelligence email dumps at WikiLeaks, which 2 years, 3 years, 5 years ago he was saying was, you know, the worst thing in the world and full of crap when it wasn't, you know. It's upside down world, Wayne. It's really upside down world.
Well, like I said, Putin, who really is the dictatorial oligarchy, we'll call it the oligarchy, head in Russia, and he knows that he'll be able to manipulate and do things what he wants with Trump. He's doing it now. Trump, as we all understand, has borrowed a lot of money from China and Russia, and he's going to be beholden to them should he do get the presidency. And one thing Putin is afraid of is Miss Hillary Clinton, because if she needs to, she'll have no problem to bitch slap into next Tuesday.
Yeah, that's true.
He is not going to bully her around at all.
Well,
and she will know, and that's just and because she has her experience in the State Department and has the big picture of the global demographics of what's really going on, she'll be able to weed out, no, this is bullshit, okay, here's some facts, and no, hell no, and capital, oh, hell no. She's going to throw it back into Putin, you know. That's going to be, and Putin does not want her in that White House. Nor does he want a Democratic-controlled House and Senate. He likes the teabaggers because their viewpoint is very much into his government way of governing system.
Well, it sure does slim things down. And since the neocons, we've had to deal with it. But there's such a shakeup going on now that I mean, these stark polarities are before us for reasons. Which side of the road do you stand on? And the truth is, there's gray issues in between and out. I feel like the Atlantic Monthly in many ways. say this. I genuinely do like Hillary Clinton. I like her as president, and I like who she is. I don't buy into half the crap.
Right.
75% of the crap that's been strung out there for so many months. If I see one
more... Well, for 25 years, plus.
Plus. And if I see one more piece about how we were regime-changing in Honduras, which is total fabrication, she has nothing to do with it. And furthermore, as Secretary of State, she pressed the policy of the Obama administration. She wasn't out there... You know, with a six gun on each hip, banging and shooting her with her own goddamn eye. You
know? I love that mental image you just painted for me there. By the way,
I mean shit. You know, you don't get around the world that way. I remember '65 listening to a radio speech, and she was in China, for Christ's sake. And she had a gun on each hip. You know what? Those guns were human rights are women's rights. And women's rights are human rights. Those were the guns she had on her hips. And if she's going to lock and load that way, I'm all with her. I remember... many things she accomplished that people seem to put in the ditch because her husband got a blowjob in office, you know?
Right. That's exactly right.
And the other thing, Wayne, I mean, you and I, we were enjoying, you know, building careers and finding our way with some solidarity at that point. Well, you know...
Yep.
Do you remember that this country stood behind her and she had the most favorable ratings of all time as a first lady because the country supported her? I mean, in through all of it. And nobody seems to recall that. I mean, you know,
you made me think of some, you know, of course, that's what Trump is, you know, going to pull out here. Well, Bill Clinton, you know, he, you know, had his indiscretions and stuff like this. And actually, we have a local. He was a Republican, a teabagger. He was state senator in Annapolis. And he was going to run against a congressman who I've worked a lot with, Congressman Wayne Gilchrist, a moderate Republican, was in the Congress for many, many years. Bronze Star winner, Navy Cross winner, Vietnam vet, just on and on. Great guy.
Yeah, I know who Gilchrist is.
Okay. Well, Rich Colburn was the guy's name. He was going to run against Gilchrist for the congressional seat. And bottom line was, I got a hold of basically his human resource evaluation papers. The man had three typed pages of his sexual indiscretions of interns, young girls, to intern under him that was studying political science. He would go out, get drunk, and think that, oh, hey, I'm a state senator, right? I can grab all her cookies because she'll be so impressed with me. And basically, the taxpayers of the state of Maryland have ponied up hundreds of thousands of dollars, plus young ladies who said, yeah, no, this isn't what I thought I was getting into by thinking about going into public service and government, and actually dropped out of their programs and stuff. I can just, you know, there was four colleges local who refused to send any female interns to him because of all of his past indiscretions. Plus two, the Washington College, which is an Ivy League college there on the Eastern Shore, the Kennedys were very much involved with that. John spoke at the commencement exercises a year before my daughter graduated. But long story short was they refused to send any male or females to him because the male, he said, hey, go out and bring some of your young college girl, you know, girlfriends up here and let me, you know, introduce them to me and stuff. In other words, go out and pimp for me. Well, anyway, and someone said, when I was basically ruined this guy's attempt to try to go after the congressional. One of his lawyers said, it's like Clinton. Now, people don't care. And I said, no, there's a big difference. I said, Clinton had a willing partner. Rich Colburn doesn't. And the same thing that's just coming around here full circle. Trump's were unwilling partners.
Yeah, and a lot of stuff is going to be, I guess, dumped from the Apprentice series, too, that is on you know, all of this just takes away from what we really need to be talking about.
Agreed.
We've only got a couple minutes left, and I wanted to do this because it's only a minute long, but I wanted to get it in here because...
Well, do it. Let's do it.
Okay. You'll probably recognize the voice.
Okay.
So blatantly stupid. He's a punk. He's a dog. He's a pig. A monk who doesn't know what he's talking about, doesn't do his homework, doesn't care, thinks he's gaming society, doesn't pay his taxes. Colin Powell said it best. He's a national disaster. He's an embarrassment to this country. It makes me so angry that this country has gotten to this point, that this fool, this bozo, has wound up where he has. He talks how he wants to punch people in the face. Well, I'd like to punch him in the face. This is somebody that we want for president? I don't think so. What I care about is the direction of this country. And what I'm very, very worried about is that it might go in the wrong direction with someone like Donald Trump. If you care about your future, vote for it.
Yep.
That was
you talking to me? What? You talking to me? Yeah, that was my poor De Niro.
that's making the round tonight. I hope for the best. I hope that Mrs. Clinton is enabled to answer some people with an open mind and an open heart. I don't have any expectation about Trump. Who knows? Who knows?
Well, she needs, I guess, in my opinion, the political battles that I've fought in helping out candidates, I tell them, matter of fact, I'm working with one, a Democrat in Sussex County, Delaware, an old high school friend. I said, you have to constantly take the high road. Always keep your message positive. I said,
yeah.
Let people like me and others to say, hey, this scumbag is trying to do this. That's what the attack dogs have to be, a lower stratification. If it's a public meeting, have
American,
somebody in the audience ask, go ahead.
That's American politics 101. I grew up campaigning for senator, you know. I understand that. And the truth is that even when you're saying, hey, way, and putting out all of the hits, you got to take as much of a high road as you can with it and be awful GD sure of what you're saying and doing.
Exactly. Hillary did stub her toes by calling, you know, referring to half of his Trump supporters as being deplorables. It's a true statement because they are the Klansmen, the John Birch societies, the uber religious fanatics that just totally denying science in general. But she's not the person to say that. She needs somebody else to be able to say that. She stays on message.
Yeah, but we're going off the air in a few seconds. But I will say that I do agree with her. I really do. They are deplorable people.
She should be the next president of the United States.
I hope to gosh we get there. I really do, because there are going to be a bunch of default votes with the third party candidates. So. We don't know. We really don't know because it's a crazy world. But tonight we'll see what we see. And next week we'll talk about it.
Well, we'll have to get the professor, Ron Feynman, on again and let us give his professional evaluation of where we kind of stand. And maybe here in the near future, very near future.
And hopefully Jack will be back with us.
Yeah, of course. And our good friend Jack, of course.
And that's it. That's our show for tonight. I hope everybody has an eye opener this evening. And we'll see you back here next Sunday on Here Be Monsters Radio. This has been the Sunday Show with Wayne Johnson and Gwen Berry.
Well, good night all, and keep pushing forward. I'll say it for Jack. How's that?
There you go. Thank you.
Good night all.
Good night.